We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. We are presented by the Keystone Sports Network. It's quarter number four, our final segment for this week. He's Bob Flounders. I'm Andy Shea. There's only two of us this week. We hope you guys have enjoyed us. Ross Tucker will be back next week after the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Oops, did I say that? Did I say that?
Bold, eh, Shea?
The Eagles fan in the room, not me, by the way. The Eagles fan
finally
in the room.
Finally made a bold prediction. Love it.
If
Ross was here, he would eat you alive right now.
Yeah, you can't bet against the Patriots, but I'm just tired of seeing them win.
Got it.
I don't hate them like most people do. I think Tom Brady's great, probably the greatest of all time. I like watching what he does late in the game. I think it'd be more fun to see Broad Street on Sunday night than Boston. That's just me. But anyway, we're going to talk about the 2018 recruiting class, signing day number two, mm-hmm. Bob Flounders, which was in any other given year, you'd be working your tail off.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I have like 27 things to do.
Yeah.
It's signing day take two under the new NCAA guidelines where they had the early signing period back on December 21st, I believe. 21st, right before Christmas, right in the middle of bowl practice. This is signing day take two. From a Penn State perspective, in my mind, looking, one of the unintended consequences was they got most of that class, the 2018 class, to sign like a huge, almost all of them, like 21 or 22 of them have signed. Like, why do I not care when this was like the one of the biggest days of the year for Penn State football?
Anticlimactic this year.
It's very anticlimactic.
I mean, there could be a couple additions.
Rasheed Wallace is still out.
Walker, excuse me.
Rasheed Wallace. Did I do that? Yeah, flashback. 50-something moment. I apologize. Rasheed Walker's still out there. He's down to Penn State and Ohio State. Yeah. Four-star defensive guy.
He's the offensive guy.
He's the offensive guy.
Offensive tackle.
Offensive tackle, four-star.
Yeah.
He's down to Ohio State and Penn State.
Yeah.
That's probably as much drama as
I feel like that the early signing day, you're gonna get the majority. You should get the majority of your class now moving forward in December. The question is, like, what's going to happen and how are they're going to have to tweak this a little bit because –
You're talking about the NCAA is going to have to tweak it.
Yeah, there's going
to
be – I'm sure there'll be some things. Like, first of all, and it doesn't really impact the kids, but the coaching staffs, you know, the programs that are not playing in big bowl games, they have bowl games either right that day or 2 days later.
Right.
And they're trying to finish their class and they're trying to win this bowl. I just think that's a little bit crazy. The other thing is you know, most coaching changes or a lot of assistant coaching changes happen. If they don't happen right after the regular season, these things are head coaching changes or assistant coaching changes. A lot will happen
after the bowl game.
Right around then or, you know, after the bowl game. And if you're a recruit, you're obviously, as James Franklin likes to say, you're not coming to Penn State because of you're coming for the education.
For the school.
I mean, that's partly true.
But we know that's not the reality.
It's not always true. And in some cases, it's probably never true.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it's tough to sign and then see either the guy who recruited you or the head coach you had a relationship with or had a relationship with your parents.
Right.
You know, leave. I mean, that's got to be tough and it's got to be a little – so you just wonder – a little bit about that. Like, you know, I don't really know how Justin Shorter felt when Josh Gattis left Penn State. I don't think Josh Gattis ever expected to leave Penn State.
I agree.
Think he was honest and I think the Shorters probably believed that he was gonna coach their kid. But like what happens when that happens? I mean, that's where James Franklin's gotta step in and you know, it's almost like you're not recruiting the kid all over again, even though you signed him. But there's a lot of reassuring, and there's a lot of don't worry. And ultimately, Ricky Ronnie's calling the offense, and you know, we're going to get you the ball. But it's just all that stuff is going to be factored in, and you just wonder how what will be the tweaks to this Because there will be in the next year or two.
You can put the coaching move, which is a big component of this, because it's just January is moving time for assistant coaches in college football.
Yeah, they have that convention, and it's like
correct.
It's like
they have the AFCA, yeah. And that's where you're doing your sort of final shopping if you're trying to put your coaching staff together. And the head coaching fires happen, then you got a team going to the bowl or they're not going to bowl. Look at Mississippi State. Joe Moorhead's hired. Yeah. Not coaching in the game, so he's putting his staff together, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and the other thing is, what if you're a coach that, you know, you want to make a coaching change because you're not happy with either the development or how this assistant coach is doing in season,
right.
But he happens to be a good recruiter, and he's got this great relationship.
With a couple kids that you want to come in.
That's a sticky one. You know you're going to kick him to the curb, but – if you're the head coach, and you could see some coaches in the past that would, to me, Bobby Petrino, Tommy Tuberville, those guys would, no changes coming to the staff. We're good. No, come on. And then, like, right after you sign, 3 days later, out the door. I just think that there is, if you just wonder if you're the recruit. Do you look at it that way now that you've seen this unfold and say, well, I know where I'm going, and I know I can go anywhere I want. I'm not signing early.
Right. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network, on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we got you covered. It's our quarter number four. We're talking about the 2018 recruiting class and signing day take two, first year where they've had the split signing days the NCAA has. There was a direct impact, I think, for Penn State, and we were talking about the coaches and the moving and the time frames of that, and it's only natural that it happens in January. Solomon Enos, the wide receiver from Texas, Penn State target.
Legacy. Curtis Enos. We won't talk about the suit buying, but he was a tremendous player at Penn State. 97 and 98, I think it was.
Number
39. Or was it
96
and 97?
Yeah.
He was a touchdown maker. That guy. He was a first round pick of the Bears. Hurt a knee and then, but anyway. So his kid is a 4-star wideout.
Correct. And he's really good.
Yeah.
And Penn State was one of his finalists. Penn State was high on his list.
Talking to KSN's Greg Pickle, he's not sure what this guy's going to do.
Correct.
He feels pretty good about Penn State's chances. With Rasheed. He's not quite sure about Anderson Butts, the Harrisburg kid, whether he'll sign at Penn State on signing day. We'll see. But there was, when he didn't sign right away, and there were some, I think he had to get his house in order a little bit maybe to get into Penn State.
Right.
The fact that we haven't heard a lot of buzz about this probably is a little bit telling. But I think of the three, I think if you had to look at those three kids and you're Penn State and you're James Franklin and you're like, well, if I can only have one of them.
Oh, we know who you want.
Yeah, it's Walker.
It's Walker.
I think it'd be great to have Enos, but I think the fact that they were able to get the Dotson kid from Nazareth, which is right in my own backyard from where I grew up in the Lehigh Valley.
Where'd they take him from? Who's he committed
UCLA.
To? UCLA. That's right.
So they
fired their head coach.
Yeah. And Chip came in and, you know. So I think the fact that they were able to get him and Shorter, I mean, it's just not as big of a.
Correct. I'm just saying that with Gattis leaving, who was the wide receiver coach, there's a reason James flew out to Arizona to visit this kid. Yeah. To sort of, you know, keep the fire burning. But that's the unintended consequence, I think. But also the risk that the NCAA has taken in using these two signing dates, because this was sort of an unexpected thing. And now James has got to jump in and do some extra work for it.
Yeah, and I just wonder how Penn State and Franklin will look at this first go around and say, because he and his director of football ops and all those guys will get in the room and say, well, this is how we handled it. What could we have done better? What should we be prepared for? How are we going to do this differently? What contingencies do we need to prepare for because this happened? And they did have, for Penn State, that was quite a bit of a flurry of coaching change there. That, you know,
correct.
The Moorheads, you know, Huff, Gattis, you know, you lose three prominent assistant coaches, I mean,
and
we're not saying it's going to be the norm. Maybe you're going to lose one or two every year, but three is a lot, and one late after the national championship game. He's got. I guarantee you the way that he thinks, they will now adjust how they do things.
That makes perfect sense. Do you like the early signing day? Do you think it puts more pressure on kids? Can you tell?
Like I said, I don't think there'll be. I think it will be revised a little bit, but I think that 1 year is too early to judge it. I just think that if you're a kid, you have to weigh, now that you've seen nationally some things happen. I think if you're a kid and you're a really good kid, you say, look, unless I'm enrolling in January, like I'll sign when I want to sign.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want to see what you're going to do. If that program has a history of losing assistants or firing assistants, and you want to, but I mean ultimately. You know, who has the power? The blue chips have the power.
Who wanted this? I'm trying to think and I can't remember. I mean, I'm not going to ever say that I think the NCAA makes smart decisions necessarily. I wonder if this was a coach's thing. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the thing that strikes me about it is you had something, National Signing Day. College football owned National Signing Day.
Yeah.
And you split it up into 2 days. And did you think there was as much steam behind
I just
the
think
December
that ultimately we're just going to – it's like they you know, when we were kids, they played the Super Bowl in the middle of January. And now it's almost always in late – early February.
Correct.
I just think there'll be a time adjustment, and we'll just – it's just going to be – instead of it being in February, that'll be like the – Christmas Day will be December 20th, and then then like the birthday will be in like I'll get one. Let's like be. Can you imagine having a birthday on December 26th, and Christmas Day is the 25th? Do you get shorted on presents, or do they go overboard and give you more presents?
Do you
look at it
up?
As two special days? I mean, I think if Penn State continues to get one or two really good players. For February, then the fan base will get excited about it. But if they knock it out of the park like they did this year, I don't think the fan base really cares.
Right.
December
was a knock out of the
better,
park day for
How much
Penn
better
State.
Are they going to get than what they get
right.
in December? That's one of the great recruiting halls in Penn State history.
Yeah, I think it was definitely one of the top three recruiting halls, and it was locked up by December 20th. I think the coaching aspect of it is what the NCAA has to look at going forward, because that's an element – unintended consequences, I think, because January is moving month for them. All right, Bob, that was a good conversation. Thank you very much.
It was. I'm gonna have another conversation with Greg Pickle about this very thing. And if there's something he brought up that I didn't think about, I'm gonna take credit for it the next time we talk.
All right, that'll do it for our show this week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.